Welcome to another episode of The Heart of the Matter. I'm Sherry Winkleman, Associate Market Executive for the Mid-Atlantic Market at UBS Financial Services, and I can be reached at 410-771-3145. My guest today is Julie Fox, UBS Southeast Regional Director, who sits in our Philadelphia office. She can be reached at 215-496-2067. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I am so excited for this session, and I thank you for your time. But to start this conversation, I have two questions for you. First, how did you find your way to a career in wealth management? And was this where you envisioned yourself when first embarking on your professional journey?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I found UBS almost by accident. I was in college at Lehigh University, going online, looking at the career website and looking at opportunities, who was coming onto campus to interview, and went and met with UBS. And the person who interviewed me, he was incredible. At the time, he was running our sales and trading business, and he was a Lehigh alum. Interviewed with him and ended up finding out that he had an opportunity for me to come work with him on the fixed income sales desk. And that's how I really started at UBS. At the time, believe it or not, I didn't even know what a bond was. And so I learned everything I learned from the old school way of starting on the job, got licensed, used to on the trading desk, we had these phone turrets and we had clips that we would use to mute ourselves on the phone. So I clipped the phone and listened all day long and wrote down questions. At the end of the day, when the markets closed, I would go around and ask all my silly questions to people and listen to calls. And that's how I ended up really learning everything when I started in the business. So I think it really goes back to a lot of times when college kids ask me, what do I need to know or what courses do I need to take? I always talk about how it's really, truly, I think about like finding something that really fits your personality, what you're good at, and the rest of it. Yeah, I think you really learn on the job.
Which is interesting because what I've noticed about you and up-and-comers in our industry and in the firm, I have never seen you ever turn down talking to the next generation. Mm-hmm. I've observed that strong commitment to mentoring. Where did that passion come from?
I think probably a combination of, I feel like I was lucky. I got, you know, a chance to come work here through someone who was an alumni at my school and took a chance on me. And I've also had great mentors. I've had great sponsors. I think, you know, very different things along the way. And I wouldn't be where I was today without them. And so I've been a huge proponent of giving back to others. And I think we all need to do that to help people kind of move through organizations and give people the chance to have career paths and career movement and mobility. And I was a perfect example of that. To your other point, I mean, I think now more than ever, it's harder and harder to get jobs out of colleges. And so I think if you think about back in the day, I was in-person interviewing. Right now, you're interviewing in a video box where you're getting sent questions and you have these few minutes to respond on this video and try to come across as who you are. And that's really hard to do. And when you apply online, there's thousands of people that apply. Anyone now where people reach out to me on LinkedIn, if they're alumni of my school, if they do some follow-up, I generally take almost all those meetings and I'll do them when I'm on a train, when I'm in the car. Doesn't need to be when I'm in the office at my desk, taking the hours away from my really great office time. But there's plenty of time I believe we all have when we're commuting or in transit or traveling that you can fit in those things. And, you know, I think you make a big difference in other people's lives and careers by doing that.
It's interesting that you do that while also leading a huge footprint of advisors and employees and leaders. If we can turn to that a little bit, one of the things I've known, and you've been very clear in your communication to all of us on the leadership team in Southeast, is that the FAs are at the center.
Yep.
Financial advisors are at the center of our business, and we are their servant leaders. And I'm curious how you're able to communicate that so broadly and make those relationships so strong and expecting the same from your leaders. How do you live that value every day and do it with such patience as you do? I'm curious about that one.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it was really just kind of learning the business from the ground up. And I think having the appreciation and understanding that none of us are here without the advisors. And I view it as the advisors are our clients and then their clients are their clients. And so I think what makes UBS really unique is that we are a little bit more entrepreneurial. We're trying to figure out how to get to the yes. And, you know, I have a big appreciation of really trying to get things done for people. And I think having worked across the firm for many years, I have a good sense of where can we push, how can we get things done, or where won't we be successful. And so, you know, nobody really wants a very long no, but we don't always have to be the quick yes, but we want to try to get to that solution. So I think I've tried to apply that across the whole business. I mean, as I've hired field leaders, if I hired onto management team, I think we're always really trying to look for who has that mindset to get to the yes, who's going to be responsive. And I try to hold people accountable to that. And my old management team from my former, when I led the Mid-Atlantic market, it was really all about, you know, we have to make sure we're getting back to people within 24 hours. And I learned really early in the business, started in the business, I had a lot of great opportunities at a young age, and I always felt a little disadvantaged to some of my peers. And what I found out was, if it's okay if you tell somebody, like, I'm not sure of the answer, I'm going to get back to you. It's not okay if you don't get back to them after you do that. But if you get back to them and say, either here's the answer, or I didn't forget about you, I'm still working on this, and at least send that follow up, that is more than most people do. And so I've tried to really instill that on our team, because I think it's really important. If you're an advisor, you've got a client, you have something time sensitive, you don't want to feel like anything goes in a black hole. And so I think we try to really make sure we keep the advisors as the center of attention, that we get back to people in a timely manner, and that we're always trying to think about the solution of what's important for the client, and is there a way that we can try to accomplish the client's goals for them.
It's interesting. And further on that point, you are very clear in what you expect of your leadership team. Mm-hmm. I never have any confusion. So for me, it's very easy because I like clarity.
Yeah.
And there's clarity when you're not happy with what I did and what I need to do. And you also give me corrective coaching. You do that with everybody. And I think that's an interesting dynamic, to be very clear on what our mission is and how we're supposed to serve our client base here, which are our advisors. I find it refreshing from a leadership perspective. And I don't know if it's because that's just who you are naturally, or is it from examples of where maybe you had some lack of clarity or lack of consistency that made you so driven to make that part of, I guess, your value statement to everybody?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because I do think it kind of goes back to what I was talking a little bit about, like when I started in the business and I had some of these roles at younger ages, I always felt a little disadvantaged. And so I felt like the one thing that I could do that would make me like a little differentiated was just actually getting back to people, and which seems so simple, but so many people don't do it.
It's true.
I think so. That's what's really, I think, made me successful, is I think I can do the strategic stuff and think big picture. I can build really strong relationships with people. But then the one thing I think that differentiator is a lot of people will start things and then they don't necessarily finish them. And I think it was an eye-opening moment for me. I remember going out on my first maternity leave, and I was going to be gone for, I think at the time it was only 2 months. And I was working on all these different things in the office, and I was so concerned about leaving. And when I came back, the first meeting I went into, we were talking about the same exact topic from 2 months before, and really nothing had changed.
Oh,
and so
gosh,
it made me realize big organizations, sometimes things move slower and it takes time. And, you know, but I think that's where you realize too, that sometimes if you don't have the right leadership or ownership, things never really get done. And so I think that's where it's been important to me to make sure that we move things forward and that we set that like accountability. And so, you know, I've tried to balance of like, I want people to really like have their own vision, run their own teams, create their own culture, have their own leadership style. But I think it's important that we all agree on certain principles, and that we need to be responsive. We need to get back to people. We need to really value our advisors. We need to value our team associates. We need to build the right culture in the offices. And so I think if we can all come around the table and agree on kind of the key things that are important to us, then I want everyone to really run the business the way they run their business and hopefully have success doing that. But I also believe in transparency. I think that no one can get better if we don't have transparent conversations. And so I think early on, I always felt like I really did it with a lot of the younger people who work for me. I felt like it was important to give them real feedback so they could grow and develop and get better, because that was something I always wanted. And it's not necessarily the easy thing. And a lot of people have a hard time with those conversations. But I think the only way to really make the people around you better is to be able to have transparent, open conversations, have difficult conversations, which we have to do on a daily basis. But then I think people like know and respect that you're going to make decisions. You're going to tell them like it is. You may or may not like the answer, but at least you're going to get an answer. And sometimes I think that's better for people than the unknown.
Absolutely. And I think even if someone's not unhappy with the decision, they're not unhappy with the process of getting to that decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that resonates with our advisors. Turning to your relationship with advisors, particularly I'm sitting in Philly with you. You built this branch. You made a tremendous impact. This room, this podcast room is because of you.
Yeah.
I noticed that advisors across the region have deep relationships with you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage that? Like, how do you manage those relationships and also create business? And obviously, we're looking to add to our advisor population, and you're working through that with our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how you're able to maintain those relationships. You know, it seems like you're really committed to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I've approached it in a couple different ways. I mean, I think in the office, it's, to me, it's a lot of fun to build relationships with our advisors. The neat part of our business is every advisor's personality, every book of business, their clients, it's all different. And that's kind of neat because you really can learn from each other and learn about what's important to them. So I think there's this unique dynamic of really building relationships, figuring out kind of how to like manage and lead, but also understand kind of their point of view and how they think about things and what's important to them. Because at the end of the day, you know, especially in this business, we really need to make sure that each advisor is like running their own business and they feel really good about what they're doing with their clients. I think that as the business has expanded, I've taken on more offices, territory, advisors, like it gets harder and harder to do that as much on a personal level. But I've tried really hard. I mean, I still try to call 3 advisors a day and just do the old school, like put it on my calendar and pick up the phone and call people. It's actually super interesting after COVID because I do that still and I'll call managers, I'll call advisors, and I do a few a day. And when you call people out of the blue, their first response is like, did I do something wrong?
Or
like, why are you calling me? And then you say, well, I'm just calling to say hello. And they're like, what? No one's called me just to say hello for so long. Are you sure you don't need something or you don't have something for me? I'm like, nope, just actually calling to say hi. And then the conversations like go one of 2 directions. Either, you know, they just actually start updating you on stuff and you get into this great conversation, or other people are like, I'm good, thank you. Like, it means so much you called. But I think sometimes you have to go back to your points, like just more the old school way of business, right? Like so much now people are texting just with your own friends at home and in life. You don't pick up the phone as much and call people. Same thing at the office. Like everyone's on Teams and using the chat, or everyone's behind email. And it's so rare people just pick up the phone and call and say hello. So I really try to do that. I try to leverage, I mean, across 15 states, obviously really hard to spend time in person with everyone. So I try to really leverage doing Teams and video calls. And I think it's really important to bring people together. We're doing, you know, a whole group of our TAP FA Best Minds meetings this year. I try to go to all. We're about to kick off our club events and spend time with our advisors. And I'm a huge believer of when you're at those, you got to really like spend time with people, right? I don't plan other meetings during meetings. When I go to branches, when an advisor brought this up to me yesterday, they said, you know, I keep seeing people come in our branch and then they sit in the branch and they close the door all day long and they're in meetings. And I said, well, that's interesting because I do the complete opposite. And I think you've seen it. Like people will say to me, when you come somewhere, you need an office, you need a desk. I'm like, nope, I just want to walk around and talk to people and be in meetings with the advisors in the branch. Otherwise, there's no point in traveling and going and being places. And so, you know, I think some of that is the old school idea. I remember Bob Mulholland was here leading the field. He was like, you just got to go walk around the office. And I do still try to do that. You know, you go to the bathroom, it takes an hour to do the loop because you just want to go and talk to people. And so I think it is really truly going back to some of those ideas and things that we've all grown up with in the business that are just your normal kind of relationship people skills. And that really turns over into like, how do you build these relationships with people? And then I think there's a big evaluation that people have in, then you take that externally in the community. Here in Philadelphia, I've gotten really involved in a number of different things. I started up and ran our 100 Women in Finance chapter here. I was on the board and part of the Forum of Executive Women here. Right now, I'm in the Philadelphia chapter for YPO. And so I think what I always encourage our leaders to do is really get involved in the community, because a lot of how you can also build that brand is important externally and people knowing UBS, knowing you as the leader of UBS. And then in turn, that gives connectivity to clients in the community, to prospects for our advisors. And then you can add value back by being able to either bring new business in or help connect people into introductions, and then also connect people into clients connecting with each other and being in that common ground for people.
What's interesting is I've heard a lot of leaders, I've been doing this 30 plus years, and I've heard a lot of leaders talk about it, mm-hmm. but I've really seen you walk this walk that you talk.
Yeah.
I mean, and I see it infusing other leaders to realize if Julie can do this managing a region, I think we could maybe do it managing a branch or a group of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's actually creating thoughtful leadership for us both internally and externally in our communities. I think people get more involved because what are you going to tell a regional director that is making time for it?
Yeah.
Obviously, we all can make time for it because it's important if we want to be the best place to work, the workplace of choice. We have to be committed to our communities, both internally and externally. And I think you live that as a brand. And I think that's kind of impacting our whole region.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think you truly have to lead by example with any of this stuff. And it's not fair to ask anyone to do something you won't do. And so as hard as it is to balance with work and children and the external extracurriculars, right, I think it's important to do that. And there's going to be ebbs. And I always say to people, there's ebbs and flows. There's times when you have time to do a lot of the extracurriculars and really get ingrained in the community and do all these extra things. And then there's times when you have to pull back and do less of them. But I still think it's important to do that because then you really just get to build your own network. And sometimes it's nice to have a network that's not necessarily just the people that you work with every day.
Right. That's true. So let's talk about challenging times.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some challenges.
Yep.
And for leaders, it's been challenging. I've often watched you on our leadership calls, walking us through some challenging times with grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of interested in how you're able to do that because I don't know if I could do that. And you just face it very boldly and also respectfully and also aligned with your leaders. And I know that's hard. I mean, it's, you know, we're all human. How did you gather that strength as a leader to do that? Because it's got to be really hard. And how do you unwind again when after those times? I'm just curious.
Yeah. I mean, I think, it's been an interesting, experience for myself, right? Because I think everyone has to figure out like what works for them. And for me, I am a big believer of being like open and transparent. I'm not going to be someone who tries to like say the corporate line and make it, or someone else's story in words and try to make it, just try to repeat it, right? I feel like it needs to sound like me and come across like it would come across me. And it's always interesting now, like now you can use things like Copilot or whatever to write stuff and then you read it and you're like, that doesn't sound like me. And so I always am going back and redoing things to really make sure it sounds like it's me and it's real. I've tried to balance it with being like human and personal, but being direct and also trying to put myself in everyone else's shoes of kind of who's listening to this. And I always have the lens in like that I look through stuff if I'm presenting at a meeting or speaking. It's like, if I'm in the audience, what would I want to hear? What would I want to take away from this? And trying to really make sure that I stayed true to that and less about like what I'm trying to talk about or deliver, but more about what's important to them. And I think if you do that, it can really help make sure to direct that message. But for me and anyone over the years, I personally have wanted to always feel like I want to know the information. I want to know the facts. I want to hear why is this important to me? And I want to know like where we're going. And so I think it's this balance of like having the vision of the future, being able to kind of deliver where we are in the present, and then also make sure you stay true to yourself along the way. And so hopefully it's something that with time you continue to really figure out like how that evolves. And in terms of how I kind of go home and unwind and relax a little, I really enjoy still working out. And whether that's playing tennis, going for a run, just getting up in the morning, going to the gym. My kids, when I walk in every day, it's great because it's amazing how quickly you kind of forget anything that you're in the middle of that was you're taking home and thinking about because it shifts right into them, which is really neat. Everybody still loves a good glass of wine or tequila on a Friday night as well.
That's true. First of all, thank you for taking the time to talk through this and talking with me and sharing this with our audience. I think where I'd like to kind of close this out is we talk about the heart of the matter and not just like a gushy way, but really it mm-hmm. seems to me your heart is all about being authentic, being honest, being respectful. What would you like your legacy? If we said 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, go on to something different, what would you like your legacy to be for your time here with us here at UBS.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope, I think that, you know, at least that people feel like I've had a great relationships and left kind of a meaningful moment behind with each person I worked with, that there's things, just like I take away a lot of pieces from people I've worked with over the years, there's things that other people take away or carry forward. So you kind of bring that memory on. I think the other piece is I left a mark in terms of, like, I got some things done, right? And whether that's creating kind of a special culture or feeling, or like you said, here in Philly, we got this new office and we've brought in great people. That could be, when I built out the original global family office business, it was like building something from scratch. And I always know, looking back, I was a part of that originally in terms of creating it. And so I think, again, that it's going to mean different things along the way of, like, what are the tangible things that someone can look back and say, this is what Julie helped accomplish. But I think there's also that hope beyond the people part of it, that you leave the physical legacy of either great businesses you've built and created, great businesses you've run, or things that people continue to do after you're gone.
One thing that I had a senior leader tell me once, and he said, you know, you really want to know what people are saying about you around the dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
So I try with senior leaders to share that.
Yeah.
So in closing, I want to tell you my heart of the matter with you, Miss Julie. Since working with you,
yes,
I have been inspired to work harder,
thank you,
work better. And I stretch my goals, I stretch my actions, and I believe in what you're creating here.
Thank you.
And I'm not the only one.
Thank you.
So thank you for joining me today. Thank you for joining the Mid-Atlantic Market. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for this episode. See you next time.
Thank you.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.
This podcast was edited by Resonate Recordings.